On the Lord's lessons on prayer. And in Luke chapter number 18, the Lord is approaching his time on the cross. He's giving his disciples some invaluable lessons as he gets closer to Jerusalem and going to die for our sins. But we're going to read in Luke chapter 18 in just a moment, but just to get the background, look back at chapter number 17. And you'll see, just look at a few verses. He's giving some lessons. You see in chapter 17, verse number 1, "Then said he to the disciples, it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Verse number 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Then in verse number 5, the disciples, it says the apostles there, they answered the Lord, and they said this statement in verse number 5, which is what? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Then the Lord gives some lessons. Verse number 6, he gives a lesson. It's not about how much faith you have, but who your faith is in. And that's the whole point of verse number 6. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So again, so I don't have the faith of so-and-so. That it's who you have your faith in. And so he gives that lesson, and then he goes on to teach a lesson there about being a servant, and all that matters is that we please the master, down to verse number 10. And then the next passage there in chapter 17 is about the 10 lepers that come, and they are healed. Only one comes back and gives thanks. And verse number 18 says, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." So he's teaching. So what's he doing? He's answering the disciples' lesson. They want a lesson on increasing faith. And so he's giving it to them through all these different things that are going on. And he talks about his faith there. And then the Pharisees come up to him, and they ask him about the kingdom. And the Lord teaches a very, very important lesson, which a lot of the contemporary crowd out there needs to hear, that the kingdom of God is not a physical entity here on this earth at this moment. It will be one day. But right now, he teaches this, it cometh, at the end of verse number 20, it cometh not with observation. It's nothing that you can see, but it's within us. Amen. But then in verse number 22, he says, "The day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." So he gives this lesson and teaches about, now he's going to go into the return of the Lord. And he talks about the fact that he must die in verse number 25. And then he needs some signs to look for when the return of Christ is going to take place. And verse number 33, he gives the lesson, of course, that whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So he gives these lessons, and you'll notice in verse number 22, he's back to speaking to, even though the Pharisees asked the question, he's teaching the disciples. And he's teaching them these invaluable lessons right before he goes to the cross. But then he follows all this, and talking about the return of the Lord in chapter number 18, with a parable. And now let's read our text in verse number 1. "And he spake a parable unto them," so just a continuing conversation, "that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" So let's look at this real quickly tonight, this parable that the Lord gives in teaching the disciples this lesson, and obviously this lesson on prayer. Now, this parable is an interesting prayer. I like what Matthew Henry said about this prayer. He said, quote, "This parable has its key hanging in the door." So what do you mean by that? A lot, sometimes parables, you got to, what is the Lord teaching here? This one's pretty clear. Verse number 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, or this is the reason for this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What is this lesson about? something that was preached on last Thursday, persistent prayer. Persevering in prayer. Continuing in prayer. So I want you to see a couple of things from this passage. Again, the Lord gives the lesson here in verse number 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't forget, the disciples' question that started all this was, Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I pray that you teach us your word. Lord, again, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, help us in our prayer life. And Lord, these lessons that your son gave, Lord, for us to learn from. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to see a couple things real quick. Number one, in verse number one, I want you to see some foundational principles. Some foundational principles. I got two of them for you. That number one, we ought to pray without desisting. We ought to pray, as the Lord said there, ought always to pray. We ought to always be in a spirit of prayer. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says. Pray without what? Ceasing, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that we have to have our head bowed and our eyes closed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But what it does mean is this, and the lesson is that we should always be ready and willing and able to pray. That we should always be in a spirit of prayer. That we should always be and have removed any obstacles that would stand in the way of an effective, constant prayer. We should always be able to pray. I heard one person say this one time about this continual praying without ceasing, that, quote, it is hard to tell how much good constant prayer would do and how much bad it would keep us from. Constant prayer. This praying without desisting. This always the spirit of prayer. And the lesson again is this, that again, the Lord's introducing this parable, and this is the lesson of it, that we ought always be able to pray. If there's anything in your life that hinders your prayers, remove it tonight. Amen. But pray without desisting. The second principle we'll look at is this, pray without getting discouraged. It says there, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Because sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately. That's the point of this lesson. To continue to pray. And not to faint. Not to give up. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. I'm not saying it's a negative thing. It's just what it is. The Bible describes it that way. Is it Colossians? Turn over there real quick. Colossians, I think it is. Colossians. Yeah, in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 12. Look at this real quick. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Some of you were very quiet when I said prayers work, right? Look what it says. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, what's the next word? Laboring fervently for you in prayers. Amen. Laboring fervently. Takes some effort to pray. Amen. Prayer takes effort. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, when he was praying, he prayed being in agony. Amen. Now again, we're not doing anything to try to get God's attention. Praise the Lord. The thought of prayer, God hears it. Praise the Lord for that. But the fact is this, that a lot of times people don't pray because it's work. Right. It's setting a part of time. It's sharing your heart and pouring out your heart to the Lord. Prayer is work. Prayer is waiting. And prayer is a matter of the will. It's a matter of wanting to do it. It's a matter of putting the effort into doing it. And at times, waiting. So the Lord gives the foundational principles here that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So you see the foundational principles. And secondly, I want you to see this, a fascinating parable. a fascinating parable in verses 2-5. And again, I'm not going to read it again. You get the idea. And, you know, that there was this unjust judge. Most people agree that he was not a Jew because they went to their elders. So here's a man, regarded not God, probably a Gentile judge that served in some form. But here he is. And here's the story. Here's my 3 points because I'm trying to get through this tonight. First of all, you see in this fascinating parable, a brute without a heart who was mean. You remember that, right? A brute without a heart who is mean. Look what it says there again. It says there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He could care less. He didn't care about this widow. He didn't care about her need. He didn't care at all. He's kind of mean towards her. She kept coming. He kept putting her off. Again, I'll just finish the story, then I'll make the points. She kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming, saying, please avenge me, please avenge me. He kept saying, no, no, go away, go away, go away. And finally he said, fine, I will avenge you of your adversary, just go away. He answered her request, not because he cared for her, not because he had a heart for her. He was annoyed by her. Right. And so he just said, just go away. So you had a brute without a heart who was mean. But then secondly, I want you to see this. You had a bride without a husband who had a need. Her husband wasn't there anymore. She had a need. I think there's a picture there that we could dive into tonight, but we'll stop. I praise the Lord, the heavenly bridegroom's waiting and coming one day. Amen. We know that, and we can go to him and praise the Lord. But we live in a world today where we have to be sober and be vigilant because our adversary walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need to go to God, amen? We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our needs and pray for the work of the Lord. So you had a brute without a heart who was mean, and you had a bride without a husband who had a need. And then you had, thirdly, you had a bestowing without a hearing because he wanted freed. He finally gave in. Never had a court case. Never brought anybody. He just said, fine, go away. I'm done with you. Now, that's the parable. Fascinating parable. And then we have, thirdly, the Father's passion. In verse number 6, you see this. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So you have some foundational principles, a fascinating parable, and then the Father's passion. First thing I want you to see in verse number 6 is this. You see love's contrast. The Lord said, now I just told you this parable. I want you to hear what the unjust judge saith. What did he say? He finally gave in to her because she just kept coming to him and wanting the same request. And he finally did it because he just didn't want to be annoyed by her anymore. And he said that. I mean, that's what he said, right? He said, lest, you know, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, pay attention to what he said. Now, the lesson is not that's how God is in heaven. It's just the opposite of that. Because we don't have an unjust judge in heaven. We don't have someone who doesn't care about us in heaven. Matter of fact, what the Lord is pointing out is the great contrast. Did this judge, this unjust judge, eventually do what the widow wanted? Yes. Just so he could be done with her. If he eventually answered that by her continual coming, how much more is a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you and is perfectly just and is perfectly fair, how much more is he going to treat your prayer request and answer it? And so he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. We have a Father who loves us in heaven. Amen? Don't you think he's going to take care of us? Amen? You do the contrast here. This judge in the story was unjust. Our God is perfectly just. This judge in the story was very impatient, but our God is long-suffering and patient with us. This judge in the story could care less about this woman. Our God cares for us every step of the way. This unjust judge, he called her this widow. Our God knows our name. This unjust judge was harsh. Our God is kind. Amen. This unjust judge just wanted to be left alone. Our God, we not just go to him and he wants us to, but we have an advocate. Praise the Lord for it. So you see, love's contrast. The Lord says, now listen, look at this story and listen to what he said. It's praise God, we have a Father in heaven that is completely different than that. So you see love's contrast, and don't you see in verse 7 and the first part of verse number 8, the Lord's commitment. It says in verse number 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Can I tell you something? The Lord's making a promise here. Now the lesson of it in verse number 1 is that men ought always to what? Pray and not to faint.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't get that answer immediately. The Lord says, that's okay. There isn't a God in heaven that's an unjust judge that doesn't care. I'll get to it in a second, but he is anxiously awaiting to answer that prayer request. If it's in line with the will of God and the scriptures, praise the Lord. All these lessons we've been looking at. So look at verse number 7, simply this. Number 1, he will honor that request. Verse number 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He will. Amen. The Lord will honor that prayer. Keep reading verse number 7. Praise the Lord. I can tell you this. The Lord will hear that prayer, which cry day and night unto him. See, I've been praying for years.
Amen.
God hears you.
Right.
You don't have to do anything like them foolish prophets of Baal, dancing around, cutting themselves, trying to get their false god's attention. Our God heard. He hears. He knows. Our God will honor that request. Our God hears that cry. Our God, keep reading verse number 7, will help us. What a great promise.
Amen.
Though he bear long with them, he will help us. There may be a waiting, but he will. He will.
Praise the Lord.
There may be a bearing long with us, but he will.
Right.
Look at verse number 8. And it doesn't contrast anything that I've just said. He will honor, he will hear us, he will help us. And when he does, verse number 9, or verse number 8, he will hurry. I tell you that he will avenge them, there's another word there,
speedily.
Now the whole point of this lesson is persevering prayer, persistent prayer. Everybody with me? The Lord says that men ought, there's the lesson, men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Amen.
Because there are times that there's a delay in prayer, and the Lord says, in an answer to a prayer, and the Lord says, but he does hear it, he will honor it, he will help you, and when it's time, he will hurriedly do it. He will do it speedily.
Amen.
So doesn't that kind of contradict the whole lesson? Not at all. Matter of fact, it's revealing the heart of God here. Persistent prayer is simply this. He'll answer it speedily. I'll try to describe that real quick. The Lord's not just willing. He's anxious to answer that prayer. His everlasting love burns within him as he desires to answer that prayer and flood us with these blessings.
Amen.
And here's the point of the lesson. He will not delay one moment longer than what is necessary to answer that request. You say, then why the delay? Because our last point, you have faith's perfecting. Some foundational principles, a fascinating parable. You have the Father's passion. And now faith's perfecting. In verse number 8, keep reading. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Remember what spurred all this conversation? Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
So the Lord gives them all these lessons on increasing their faith, and then he brings it to prayer. He teaches them the lesson that there are times that it may seem like a delay. But why? It's in the same, you don't have to twist the scripture at all. It's in the same verse. He will answer speedily. Why? Faith What's he doing in our life? He's increasing our faith.
Amen.
The Lord loves us. He's longing to bless us, but he is building our faith. God has reasons sometimes in withholding an answer. It's for our faith.
Right.
It's for our faith. Because once faith, listen closely to this statement, once faith stands on God's word and is surrendered to God's will, he will not be discouraged by God's waiting. Once faith stands on God's word and stands on God's will, it will not be discouraged by God's waiting. That's why Brother Harris can get up in front of you and say, I'm praying for New Zealand. And he's not there yet. But he's not depressed about it. Because when you stand upon God's word and know God's will, you say, well, he's not doing it yet. That's fine. God knows far better than I do. And what's God's doing? He is helping my faith. Here's another statement. I read this one. Real faith can never be disappointed. That was a deep thought. I've dangled on that one a while. Real faith can never be disappointed. You see, the Lord's doing a work. And that work, at the end of verse number 7, he says there, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Sometimes he waits. Sometimes he does. Sometimes there is a bearing with us. It reminds me, go over real quick, we'll come right back here. We're almost done. James chapter number 5. Look in James chapter number 5 real quick tonight. In James chapter number 5, and in verse number 7, James 5 and verse number 7, says this, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now what's the lesson in this passage of Scripture? What's the Lord? And he's talking about the return of the Lord, but he's given a principle here that someone who goes out and farms, right, and they grow, they have to wait for the fruit. There has to be some rain there. The early rains and the latter rains. I, a few years ago, planted some grapes in my backyard. And they are the greatest grapes upon the face of the earth. Let me just, you can't buy them at a store like that, all right? I just love them, all right? And they're just delicious. I know I need to go on, all right? But, all right, there's some great grapes in my backyard. Stay away. But they're there, all right? And so, you know, last year they were so delicious. And it's just now starting, all right? I planted little bitty grapevines. They're just now starting to produce. I got a few last year. I'm hoping for a bunch this year. Never mind, all right? But, all right, so I've been watching them. They were so good, all right? And so I see them growing, and I know they're not ready yet. They're not. But I thought, I'm going to try one. Because they were so good. Surely these would be pretty good. It was disgusting. It was one of the worst things. I literally was like, I'm like gagging, spitting it out. It's so sour. It's so, right? Because the husbandman, if he's going to get the fruit he wants, has to allow for the perfecting of the fruit. And the rains to fall. And the growth to come. And there's some times that he waits. Not because he doesn't want to answer, because he loves us with an unbelievable love. Not because he doesn't desire to answer, he anxiously awaits to answer. But because he's a great God, he knows when he needs to answer. Because he's helping our faith. So he waits, but in verse number 8, he will. He will. He may wait to answer, but he will. That's a promise from the Lord. Amen. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. There are times for persevering prayer. And during this time of waiting, and I may catch this, and I'll wrap it up with prayer, but look at me. God allows it because you say, well, God's not doing this, and I've been praying for it, and I believe it to be God's will. Amen. Keep praying. Amen. Well, why the delay? It's time for me to search my heart. Because God's doing some perfecting here. Wow. It's time for me to discover and confess any hindrances that are in my life. It's time for me to surrender. Woo. As the Lord and the Spirit shows me what He wants.
Amen.
It's a time for me to learn what a closer fellowship with God is. Because the Father in heaven wants to answer this, but He's waiting for me.
Amen.
For me. So disciples, increase our faith. He will. And when He comes, may He find faith on the earth. Father, I pray.